This is Sports Talk from AM 870 WKAR.
This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Hi, everybody. Terry Braverman. Welcome back to 870 AM Sports Talk Radio. The Dow is up, and so are we for the final of a five-day week here. I'm going to give you the phone number right off the bat because I want a lot of phone calls today. We're going to have three guests, but even so, you'll have a chance to talk with them, ask them a question, or me. The number is 355-9527. That's 9527. Toll-free, 877-952-7870. Well, I don't know where we begin, but I guess we'll start with the fact that Michigan State has uncovered the fact that they are, in men's basketball, playing the toughest schedule in four games of any team in the country, playing four ranked teams, top 20 ranked teams, back to back to back to back. Of course, that means Michigan, Indiana, Ohio State up next, and then Wisconsin. Wow. A tough task for Tom Izzo and his team. They travel to Columbus, Ohio tomorrow, take on the Buckeyes on Sunday, 4 o'clock, come home, and then play Wisconsin in about a week on the 7th of March, a 9 o'clock game, by the way. But anyway, the Spartans do have their work cut out, but it's not impossible. They beat the Buckeyes by 3 in East Lansing at the Brez. And if you get Sports Illustrated, you open it up and you see a Spartan on a two-page spread today. It came out yesterday, Sports Illustrated with Bryce Harper on the cover. And you'll see young freshman Carlton Valentine's son, Denzel, in a two-page spread with hand-to-hand combat with Trey Burke of Michigan. And you're looking between the legs. I think that is Brandon Dawson, an out-of-bounds play late in the game with Valentine and Burke pushing and shoving, a beautiful color shot. And you see almost half of the Breslin Center in the background for the Michigan State game. Also, Derek Nix is in the shot. Nice double page. If you want to save Denzel Valentine, full color, 8x10. The subject on the caption is Arch Enemies. And that would be right, the arch formed by the legs of Brandon Dawson. All right, let's see what else. Hockey on their way to Fairbanks, Alaska. They play tonight at 11 o'clock our time in Fairbanks. Friday and Saturday game for Coach Tom and Asta's squad. And let's see, I have to tell you this, that, the Tigers open up today. They play on the road all the way over in Orlando. They're against the Braves. Anybody know what the name of the Atlanta Braves spring training stadium is? Trivia question. It's owned by Disney, /ESPN. It's called Champions Stadium. And so the Braves play on the property of Disney at their sports complex. And then tomorrow they come home. The Tigers will be in Lakeland at Joker Marchant. If you haven't never been to Joker Marchant Stadium, it's a great, great spring training setting. Go there, have some fun, watch the Tigers get ready to try to win the American League again. And I don't know if anybody caught the story. Did you see? They said the sign of the apocalypse now. Last week at the Washington Nationals spring training batting practice, a fish fell out of the sky. Right during batting practice, apparently an osprey was flying overhead and dropped his dinner right in the middle of the field. So people were saying, whoa, what is happening? A fish is coming down in the middle of Florida. And apparently the osprey lost his dinner, didn't come down to pick it up. But it might be a sign of the apocalypse. I don't know. But anyway, it's fun to talk baseball, football, whatever. Later on, we're going to talk about a strange hockey occurrence that happened. And it involved our Capitol correspondent, Tim Skubick, way back in the day when he was working at WKAR. And right now we're going to try and get Dean. Okay, we're going to keep trying. No, I'll tell you why we're not getting him. Dean Look is in Florida, and he's getting ready to tee off. He's on the golf course. And so he said, just keep trying, okay, Alex? So we'll keep trying, Dean. And I will set the story up for you because few people perhaps realize that Dean Look was a multi-sport star at Michigan State. He played baseball. He played football, was an All-American quarterback. He was a punter. Even high school, outstanding track star as well at Everett High School. Came to Michigan State, 56 to 60 or 61, and then tried professional football. Played with the American Football League New York Titans, and also played Major League Baseball with Chicago White Sox for half of a season, was called up. And in the course of a conversation recently, Dean told me a story about playing with the White Sox that I wanted him to pass along to you. He, of course, has been a National Football League official for, I'm going to say, close to 30 years now. I think he's coming back for another season. So when we get Dean on the line, we'll get an answer on that question. And we'll take your phone calls meanwhile, since Dean is probably on the practice green or something. The number is 355-9527. Toll free if you're out there, 877-952-7870. I wonder if we can switch ahead. Let's go to see if we can get a hold of Skubic, because Tim might be available early, and we'll switch our lineup a little bit. At one point in time, we had an outstanding bevy of reporters and people that were going on in the broadcast business working here at WKAR radio. Jim Adams, of course, and I were sharing a microphone with Spartan Sportlight and the Michigan State Football Replay, and we were telecasting wrestling, track and field. We were shooting boxing before I came along. Jim did boxing, but everything that happened in the mid-Michigan community, WKAR television, radio, or both, were covering the events. And even Jim Cash, who was a writer at that time and producer, who has passed away, but Jim was the writer for, of course, Top Gun, among others, many movies that he wrote, along with his partner, Jack Epps. And we shared some great times back in the old Quonset huts with Cash, Skubic, and others. And I guess I have to punch Tim in. Tim, are you with us live?
Is this Terry Braverman?
Oh, yeah.
Terrence, how are you, man?
Hi, Tim. Hey, thanks for stopping by. And I want you to go back in time. Can you do that? Can you still? Your memory still okay?
You know what? I had scrambled eggs for breakfast. That's as far as I can go, babe. But go ahead, give it a shot.
All right, I'm going to let you guess because I don't know the year. But when did you start? Let's start with that. When did you start working at WKAR Television?
1970.
All right. So somewhere between 1970 and 74.
Yeah.
Which was my last year there.
Yeah.
How did you get involved in sports? What happened with that crazy
well, you and
hockey
Adams
game?
Were obviously not pulling your weight and needed
no.
somebody to come in and rescue you.
Well, that's not obvious.
No, no.
Jim
no.
must have been out of town or doing a game, I'm guessing basketball, because it was winter.
Yeah.
And no, what? Some of the producers, there's a big hockey game coming up, and we're going to televise it.
Well, you know what? We always used to have, Terry, a Monday morning meeting. It was the old On Assignment group, which nobody will remember.
On? Of course I do.
Yeah. It
was On Assignment.
Yeah, it was a 60 Minutes type show. And so we get together every Monday, and in the course of those conversations, and you occasionally would sit on some of that stuff, it became known that, you know, I was kind of a sports aficionado, and hockey was my passion. Not my top passion, but it's one of them, okay? And KAR was going to do its very first hockey broadcast, and of course you were picked to do the play-by-play, and he needed a color guy, and I guess everybody else that was good was not available, and they said, Skubic, would you like to do this with Terry? And I said, yeah, let's
I know I didn't make that decision.
Clearly you would have picked
somebody else. Somebody else did that. Colby Lewis or Bob Page, I don't know
anybody. You could have held auditions on the street, you know.
Kay Ingram. You must have done something. You must have had some dirt on her.
No. I don't know whose call it was.
All right.
But here we end up with you and I in the booth doing the first telecast by WKAR of an MSU hockey game, and it had to be, what, like around 72, 73?
Yeah, that's what I'm guessing. But you use the term booth very loosely.
There was no booth.
Remember, this is Dem Hall.
Right.
and this is a telecast.
Right.
There is no television facility. As I recall, we were perched on a platform mounted to a pillar.
Yeah, and we had a desk.
That's it.
And actually, my job was not to do color. It was to keep the pucks from hitting you in the mouth.
Which a lot of people probably would have preferred. But do you even remember who Michigan State played?
No. I have absolutely, you know, not that this wasn't the highlight of my career, but I do know that we had fun.
Oh, yeah. But remember, there was no replay.
We
had
one
shot at it, and there was no, we probably didn't even get a tape of the game, did we, Tim?
I didn't know. If we do, it ought to be in the Hall of Fame for crying out loud,
don't
you think?
As
I recall, you were brilliant.
Well, your memory's better than mine, but I know those were fun days.
They were.
Those were pioneering days.
And television, as you know, was completely different. You could have fun, and it was, of course, this was always the beauty of public radio and public TV. We are not driven by the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So you could venture and do stuff that you might, other commercial stations just normally wouldn't even touch, you know, and doing stuff like that, it gave you a chance to have some fun and provide a service that nobody else was doing. It was an absolute hoot, and you know that I always loved working with you, and it was a great fun to do.
Well, not only that, let's say black and white.
Yep.
We're not talking color here.
Nope.
We're probably, if we're lucky, we had three cameras.
Right.
Probably John Weaver was
you.
Our,
huh? And two of those were on you.
But, you know, black and white hockey on public television in 1972 was probably as good as it got at that point in time.
Well, it had.
And we weren't, by the way, we weren't raising money for anything. It wasn't even a pledge night.
Right.
There were no commercials, no timeouts, whatever time the game was played, we filled it.
Yes. Now, as long as we are reminiscing, okay, and on broadcast firsts, I can, and this was fun also, and you mentioned our buddy Jim Cash.
Mm-hmm.
We did the absolute first color broadcast at WKAR-TV called The Summer Place, which was an entertainment show during the summer that Cash produced, and I anchored, and I know you did that show.
I did.
You may have been my Ed McMahon.
I always thought you were my Ed McMahon.
Actually, no, it was The Summer Place featuring Tim Skubick.
Well, I did a show. Wait, now here we are. IOE.
Yeah.
I did a show I hosted with a young lady named Karen Carr.
Karen Carr.
She's changed her name to Glow, by the way, Karen Glow. She's in California somewhere. Yeah, she and I hosted a show. I remember doing it because I jumped off the 5-meter board at the IM pool, and I've still got the wedgie.
Were you sober?
I've still, yeah. How stupid was that?
Exactly. You couldn't have got me to do that.
Well, I Summer Place might have been a predecessor, or it might have come after what I did.
You know what? You hosted that thing standing around the pool.
Oh, yeah, that particular show. But yeah, we went everywhere. We tried to go as many places as we could on campus.
Well, this was the first colorized telecast at WKAR, and Cash really did a remarkable job. He brought in Jim Henson with the Muppets.
Oh, well, you had big time.
I remember interviewing Oscar the Grouch, and he brought in a Playboy bunny. I didn't say much to her because I was married at the time.
I interviewed two greyhounds. I had a guy named Sonny Ellis who wanted to bring greyhound racing to Michigan.
Yes, Sonny
and he
Ellis.
Brought two dogs.
That was a tough interview. I interviewed Flash Gordon. Who was Flash Gordon?
Oh, who was he? You mean the comic strip character?
No. The guy that played it in the movies. What was his name?
Who played Flash Gordon in the movies?
There you go.
Adam West. I don't know.
Buster Crab.
Oh, that was, he played Tarzan too, by the way.
Yes, but not as well as Johnny.
All right, Skubick, let me go back and tell the folks one more thing as we reminisce here. I think I brought the idea to WKAR television from my previous job, which was in Hawaii, where I saw the television station I worked at, KGMB, Channel 5, did once a year a Christmas show. But it wasn't for the public. It was the Christmas party for the employees. And we would take all the outtakes and put them together.
The show's still going on.
And did the Christmas party around the outtakes.
Yes.
Well, I brought that idea to KAR. And for some reason, they said, okay, let's try it. Oh, they sure regretted that, I think.
But it was funny.
But wasn't that great, Tim? We would have the whole, only employees, yep. No outsiders. I don't even think spouses were allowed to come, but we would have food, drinks, and then the highlight of the Christmas party at the station was looking at the outtakes. And my favorite, I have to tell you, of all time, yep. is Tim Skubik. At some point in time, I want to say it was at the Demhall Woods.
It's exactly where it was.
And I don't know
where
what the topic.
Arena.
Where the hockey rink is now.
Yep, that's correct.
And what do you remember the topic even? What
I
were
do.
You? What
I
was
do.
The topic?
It's like it happened yesterday.
Okay.
I'll let you do the punchline, but I'll
right.
give you the setup.
No, you. Okay, go ahead, set
no,
it
no.
up.
We're doing a story on the Michigan Ku Klux Klan, a very obviously serious piece of journalism. We had interviewed the Grand Dragon of the National Ku Klux Klan, and we had done it out in the woods during the winter. Okay,
right.
So we get done with Sheldon. Robert Sheldon was the guy's
wow.
name. God, I can't believe
wow.
I remembered that. Anyway, so we're done with the interview. They clear out and walk, you know, go off into the night, and I've got to sit there on a stool and do my clothes. So tell them what happens.
So there's Skubik standing there,
sitting,
and they. You were sitting. I didn't realize that.
Yep.
But they so stand by Tim, and he's got this sort of a hand mic with a big, you know, sponge on it.
Right.
And they cue him, and Tim says, well, that's been the... And kawam! Out of nowhere comes a huge block of snow that hits Skubik on the head, on the microphone,
yes.
and there's this momentary pause, and Tim gets this strange look on his face. He's going to be mad at somebody for throwing a snowball at him. He turns around, looks into the woods, and says, that came off a tree. And
it
you
did.
Broke up laughing.
Oh.
And you said, oh, my God, that's the funniest thing.
I can't. And,
but your reaction, Tim, before you realized it was nature.
Yeah.
Was,
well,
who would do this to me?
I mean, don't people like me for crying out loud? And the beauty of it was is that you had one clump of snow hit my head
yeah,
and
right.
another one right on top of the mic. It was
coated
you
it.
Couldn't have planned
no,
it
no.
any better.
You couldn't have thrown it. You couldn't have planned it.
Right.
And that was the highlight of that particular Christmas
yeah.
show.
Now, see, if we had had YouTube back then,
oh,
we would really be stars.
Oh. Isn't that the truth?
Isn't that the truth?
That would go viral.
Oh,
yeah,
in a heartbeat.
Outtakes.
Yeah.
Don't
absolutely.
You wish of all the things you could find the Christmas party tapes of all the outtakes?
That stuff's got to be laying around somewhere.
Boy, the land of play and Miss Helen, when she'd walk, she'd open her mailbox
yep.
and Jim Ferrone, our engineer, put some stripper music and as she walked across the studio. Here's this little, you know, children's show. And Ferrone, who never said a word, Jim, he said, Jim, that's the funniest thing we've done. And then Freddie Cunningham, who put everybody, we did the Rocky Raccoon.
The
Beatles song, and everybody
yeah.
in the whole station
well,
had
you got
one
a great
line.
Memory, my friend.
Well, certain things stand
you
out.
You know, this is an insight for the people that are listening of why we go into broadcasting. I mean, we love what we do. We have a passion for it, right? But there is a tremendous amount of fun that goes with it, and I'm sure you say as I say, I'm going to do this until it stops being fun, and neither of us are there yet.
Interesting comment, and I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
Tim, I appreciate you giving us time. Where are you right now? Where do we find you working? Huh? You're not going to tell me?
I'm sitting in my basement office, and I'm writing a story on the governor's new proposal to fund the roads.
Oh, boy,
and I would
that.
Give it to you as an exclusive, but you wouldn't know what to do with it.
Nah, I wouldn't care. Except just get the roads better. But how many days a week? Are you working full-time still?
I am a self-employed independent contractor, so I'm working, you know, seven days a week,
wow.
365 days a year, and having an absolute riot, my friend.
Well, okay.
Can
You're
I just say one
off.
Thing about the basketball game
yeah.
the other night?
Yeah.
I thought we were a little outcoached. Is that a fair statement?
No, absolutely
okay.
not.
All right,
I love Tom Crean. He's a heck of a guy. I think we panicked at the wrong time, and Judd Heathcote nailed it the day of the game,
yep.
and he said the thing that concerns him about this basketball team is they are maybe not as cerebral as I would like them to be as a coach.
Yeah.
There's a basketball IQ, sometimes a mentality that fails us at key moments, and I think it happened down the stretch in that Indiana game.
Well, the point that I would point to was that pass in, out-of-bounds pass,
oh, yeah.
near the end, which was a Hail Mary pass to this guy, and he goes down. How did he break out of the pack? Didn't we know that was going to happen?
Tim, it didn't matter. They were still leading by one. That just puts them up by three. To me, the key play was not boxing out Oladipo on a tip-in after they'd missed their shot. It was simply a lapse in what you were coached. You can coach all you want to, but if the players don't follow through.
Yeah. Well, it was a disappointing loss.
Of course it was.
But we'll get them.
Not the end of the world.
Yeah.
Now, how about would it make up for it if we won in Ann Arbor? Would that make up for the Indiana loss?
You know what? I owe Mr. Izzo a thank you because I was conflicted on the night of the Michigan game. I had to watch the president's State of the Union.
That's right.
But here's the good news for all the Democrats out there. Every time he got a standing ovation, I'd flip over to the game and see how it was going. Okay, and after two or three flips, I said, you know what? This is a walkaway. So I watched the rest of the speech. Finished up with the president's stuff, came back and watched us trounce Michigan. So it was a win-win all the way
around. Can't you say TiVo?
What's that?
Oh, never mind.
Yeah, exactly.
It's beyond me, too. Do you Twitter and do all that social media stuff?
God.
You don't?
No.
Tim Skubic doesn't Twitter?
Who wants to know when I'm going to the bathroom? Raise your hand.
Oh, that's not necessarily what we need to hear.
Well, but that's not what you're going to get either.
All
no,
right.
No.
Hey,
I got too many fish to fry than to Twitter my life away. Do you Twitter?
No.
Well, thank you.
But if you have a fish fry, I'm coming over.
Scooping,
hey, thanks for calling. God, I love you, and I wish I had this show every day so you and I could do it regularly.
The feeling is mutual, my friend.
All right, buddy.
Thanks for all the great memories.
Thank you for calling in and continued success. That's all I can say to you.
You told me to do it.
Okay. I asked you politely.
Ta-ta.
Hey, by the way, that was Tim Skubic, Capitol correspondent, a number one ace down at the Capitol, and a former KAR regular. We're going to ask you to stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870.
Is the Chinese military behind cyber attacks on the U.S.? I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday for a look at cybersecurity. Plus, why is air pollution in Alaska worse than the smog that chokes Beijing? And new details about the meteor that exploded over Russia, looking for the next one. All on Science Friday from NPR.
Good afternoon. This is Scott Pohl with the weather forecast. Some more freezing drizzle and snow today. The high will be in the low 30s. Cloudy tonight with a chance of light freezing drizzle and light snow and a low of 25. Cloudy Saturday, scattered snow, the high 32, mostly cloudy and a high of 31 Sunday.
Welcome back to Sports Talk, 870 AM. I'm Terry Braverman, sitting in here for the final day of a five-day week and the old spot that old Earl Robinson used to occupy. And we're still going to try and get Dean Look on, and we're going to talk wrestling in a moment. But on the line is our buddy, I think it's Daily Double. Are you there, Daily?
Hi, Terry. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm wonderful. I just had talked horses with you in the Derby, and you have a better inkling on what they're deciding to do, but they're not doing it the same way they used to get these horses for the Derby and Preakness and things like that.
You know, Steve, it's awfully early to be talking Derby. Here we are in February, but it's fun because that first Saturday in May will be here before you know it. All I know, I only know one horse, which is Shanghai Bobby. And the reason I know is because he has more points. And the reason we talk about points is because apparently the folks who are in the know at Churchill Downs have changed the way horses will be selected to run in the big race down at Lexington. And that's the fact that they have to earn points. And if you earn so many points, and I think there are 36 races that are qualifiers, and the horses, maybe the top 20. I don't know. Is 20 the limit, Steve? You know that.
Yeah, 20, yeah. And I hate it when they have entries and they know they're not going to race them and they scratch them. That eliminates a horse that had a chance or somebody that could have took their horse down there and it would have been exciting for them. That really disappoints me when they do that. But
there's about 6 to 8 horses that really have no prayer, but the owner and the trainer can say, yeah, I trained a horse that ran in the Kentucky Derby. I mean, that's a big deal.
And you're there. That's huge. This point system this year to me is so-so because they have to work out the kinks, and I don't think they can do it the first year. When they organize it better, I think it'll be a better, much better system than what they had, because you could race your horse in a couple big races, make enough money to make him eligible, not race him, or he might not even be good enough and shouldn't be there. But since he ran in some, you know, little race that had a big amount of money, he was able to get in. And I think the point system will work out in a year or so. I really do.
Steve, do you have any names right now that you've looked at that jump out at you that you think are going to be contenders?
Nothing yet. Like you're saying, it's early. I like to see who races how many times. I mean, I like a horse that has two races this year, and, you know, they've just started their prep races, so I'm not really worried.
Two races
about
in 2013.
In 2013. Oh, and a couple races as a two-year-old, for sure. But sometimes that doesn't matter. You just see how they're running this year. And then the kicker, Terry, is, and it's very hard to get the Derby right. Everyone laughs
sure
at me because there's too many horses. They're bumping each other. But I usually do pretty darn good in the Preakness, and especially the Belmont, because horses get tired, and I'll explain the reasons on another show. But that makes it more interesting when you see them run against each other and things they do back and forth. But you can keep talking, but I did have one question for you that I really never asked you. What do you like to do the best, call football games, call basketball games? And if there's one thing throughout your whole career, what did you like the best out of one sport that you've done? Is there anything that really sticks out? But what do you like to call the best?
Well, you're going to be surprised at the answer to this, because I only did it a couple of years.
When you talk, I'm always surprised.
When I'm not talking, you're surprised. And the same goes for you. But my answer is, oddly enough, if all the things I did and could do, doing play-by-play of baseball is my favorite. And the reason I say that is you've got time to create a picture, to describe the scene for a radio listener. And I really appreciated the chance to use my imagination, in a sense, but also it's statistical. Baseball is all about stats. You know, he's 3 out of 10 against a left-hander, and he's 4 out of 7 against right-handers. And there's a guy on first, and should we run, and should we bunt, and should we sacrifice? I did a couple of years here in East Lansing when WKAR used to broadcast Michigan State baseball. We wouldn't go on the road. We would do home games. And the NCAA tournament was held here one year. And my partner, Jim Adams, was out of town on assignment, and so I did play-by-play, and I brought in Dick Raddatz, who was a former major leaguer with the Boston Red Sox and a Spartan, and he did color with me, and we had more fun with Raddatz trying to second-guess Danny Littweiler as to what he should be doing, and he was wrong every time. And here's a big-time major league pitcher. But it just goes to show you never can know what's going to happen in baseball. And you've got time to create and paint a picture. I did minor league ball, of course, in Hawaii with Harry Callis, who went on to great fame with the Philadelphia Phillies and Mutual Network. He did Notre Dame. Harry was the voice of the Campbell Soup commercials and HBO films, the NFL highlights. But Harry and he would do the first 3 innings. I would do the middle 3. He would do the last 3, but I learned at the elbow of one of the all-time great baseball announcers, and that's my favorite, baseball.
Well, I can actually see that, because I'm not saying it's work to have to call football or basketball, but you're busy. But being able to paint a picture, probably everything goes by fast, and it's much more fun, so it wouldn't be like work compared to some of those other things you do.
Yeah, because public address and doing a game on a microphone, you're only telling the audience in the arena what's happening, and you only do it in a very quick burst, you know. 7 yards, Tico Duckett, it's 2nd down and 3, the ball is at the 49. Shut up. Baseball, radio, keep it going, pal. And you can talk, hey, I see Steve Wing out there with George Perlis and Larry Sierra sitting in the audience down the third baseline. How you doing, guys? You know, and you can have fun.
And poker.
Huh? Well, I don't know what they're doing down there, but they've got some dollar bills out. What does that mean?
I have no idea.
I know. That's kind of
funny you say that, and I'm glad, you know, that makes sense. But if I had to make you choose between basketball and football, which one would you choose?
Basketball. Only because I have to be more Well, it's closer to the scene, number one. I wish I was not so far away. Football, I'm up on the 7th or 8th level, and you're so removed. And now this year we even had to have the window closed because of the microphone and the sound system. And so you don't feel as part of the game as you'd like to, whereas in basketball you're right there, you're listening to the officials make the calls, you're hearing. Now you get blocked out occasionally by big bodies, but you're more into the reality of the excitement of the game. But let me tell you, you made me think of one other thing, Steve, that I have to say. In my experiences at KAR, one of my favorite moments was when I went to Philadelphia to do a basketball game when Michigan State played St. Joseph's of Pennsylvania, one of the real great teams in Philadelphia in those days. They had Matt Gukas, and John Bennington was our coach. Jim Adams, again, must have been on assignment somewhere else, and I went as the play-by-play announcer for KAR, and we didn't have a color announcer. We didn't have a second. We didn't have the salary. We didn't have an engineer. We did it all ourselves. We're in Philadelphia, and for some reason, John Bennington, having breakfast the morning of the game, who comes and sits down but Red Auerbach from the Boston Celtics, the coach, and Boston was in town that night to play the Philadelphia team. And John said, you know, Red, you want to come to the game, be our guest? Michigan State's playing, saying, yeah, sure, John, I'll be there. And so he hung out all day, huh?
With that cigar in his mouth?
With a cigar. And the bus did not show up, or whatever the transportation was that was supposed to take us to the arena from the hotel. So John said, ah, the heck with it. It's just a few blocks. We'll take a city bus. The whole basketball team, equipment, managers, bags, everything. We stand in line at a city bus and pay the 25 cents or 50 cents a person to get on. And Red Auerbach is there. And he's going, I don't believe this. College basketball, big time, Michigan State, John Bennington. I got to ride a bus to go to the game. I can't believe this. So now we're walking to the arena, the Palestra in Philadelphia. And Red Auerbach says, hey, they're selling them hot pretzels. Braverman, you want one of them? I said, what is that? I'd never heard of a hot pretzel being sold on the street. You put mustard on it and you eat it. So my claim to fame is Red Auerbach bought me a hot pretzel. And then I have no why. I don't know why I did this. I said, Red, is there any chance you'd like to do color for the broadcast I'm doing on radio with me? Yeah, sure. Why not? I got nothing else to do. I might as well. And so for the first half of the Michigan State St. Joe game, on WKAR Radio, Red Auerbach did color with Terry Braverman, and he was so demonstrative and so outspoken, and he swore every other sentence. John's team got a blue, has got a comet, and he was using four-letter words, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, they're going to cut me off the air. His team's got to rebound better. What's wrong with John's team? And he's ripping them, just like he was coaching. And I'm loving it, but I'm worried the word there you're going to pull the plug on our broadcast. So at halftime, he says, I got to go get some coffee. I got to get something. I said, okay, Red, take your time. and he didn't come back. And I was really happy because I thought the station manager was going to say, you know, you can't have that guy swearing on the air. And I want to say, you tell him. I'm not going to tell him. That's Red Auerbach. You know, there's a statue for him in Boston. Anyway, you got me off on another subject. Steve,
well, it was nice talking to you. Anyway. Yeah.
Thanks for calling in, buddy.
All right, we'll see you later.
All right. Bye. They're off and running at the Kentucky Derby. Let's take another break. You want to do that now, Alex? Okay. We want to tell you to stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on WKAR AM 870.
What was the last movie you produced?
High and Dry.
Who paid for that?
CFDC.
What's your middle name? What's your middle name?
Leon?
Shoot him. He's an American spy.
Argo is nominated for 7 Oscars. On the next Fresh Air, we hear from the director, Ben Affleck, and from Bradley Cooper, the star of Silver Linings Playbook, which is nominated for 8 Oscars. Join us.
Freezing drizzle and snow for the balance of the day with a high in the low 30s. It'll be cloudy tonight with a chance of light freezing drizzle and light snow and a low of 25. Saturday's outlook, cloudy, scattered snow, a high of 32. Mostly sunny with a high in the low 30s Sunday. I'm Scott Pohl.
Hi, Terry Braverman back on the radio, 870 AM Sports Talk. Our phone number here is 355-9527 at WKAR. And if you're out of the area code, it is toll-free, 877-952-7870. We're talking baseball. And in a moment, if I don't get Dean Look, I'm going to switch to another subject because wrestling is in the news in a strange way. If you did not see it, about a week ago, the International Olympic Committee came up with the decision that wrestling, the sport of wrestling, would be excluded from the Olympics starting in the year 2020. It's hard to fathom that that could happen and what sport will take its place. But in reality, they're talking about it. It's not a done deal. There's going to be a lot of discussion. There's going to be a lot of teeth gnashing and protests. In fact, as I understand it, the World Championships are taking place right now in Iran, and the wrestlers, before the main events, intend to have a sit-in or lie down and protest. They're going to have a minute of silence in protest of the possibility of dropping the sport of wrestling from the Olympics. I don't know where that's going to go, and I don't think anybody knows right now, but if we can't find Dean in Florida, we're going to... We got him now? Okay, Don... Okay, we've got Don Beam on the line. Don, are you there, buddy?
You got Don Beam here.
Yeah, Don. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well.
Set this up for... I talked about the possibility of your sport being dropped from Olympics. But let's go back and say that it's hard to believe that a team in any sport in college today in the Big Ten could win 5 Big Ten championships in a row. But in reality, that is what Michigan State did when you were part of the team from 65 to 70, 5 straight Big Ten titles. Don, that had to be the golden era of Michigan State wrestling.
Well, it was a great time. We had a lot of good guys on the team, and we had a good coaching staff, and yeah, it was fun. I mean, we expected to do well, and we did. I mean, that's how we trained. It was fun.
Grady Penninger brought that great assembly of athletes together, including you. And now, Don, as we talk about the Olympics, after you didn't leave Michigan, were you still a student when you competed in the Olympics in 1968?
I just graduated in the fall term.
Okay.
And winter term I graduated, so that I was still finishing up my degree, but my eligibility was up. And,
okay. You were wrestling in college at 130.
Yes.
At what weight did you participate in the Olympic competition?
They have different weights run by kilos, and my weight class was 57 kilos or 125 pounds.
125 pounds. Now you're a senior. Had you had international competition, Don? You don't just enter into this by accident. You obviously had some previous international competition.
I'd wrestled international style, which is a different set of rules. It's not a lot different, but it's significantly different. You can do it. You got to change a few things, how they score and things like that.
Now, we're not talking Greco-Roman.
No.
Okay. So you're in international competition. It's 1968 Olympics. To qualify, what kind of competition, how many matches did you have to wrestle?
Well, we had regional tryouts here in Michigan, and then there were national tryouts where were they? They were in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to a final training camp in Colorado for high-altitude training. So we were in pretty good shape.
Where were the Olympics held in 1968?
Mexico City. So we were high-altitude. That's why we trained at Alamosa, Colorado.
Was that the year of the famous salute, Carlos?
Yes, it was.
John Carlos, yeah, 68. Okay, so now you qualify. How many matches did you wrestle in the Olympics?
I wrestled 6 matches.
6?
And it was held on 4 different days. And
You had 6 matches in 4 days? So you had 2 in 1 day?
Yes.
How many hours apart?
I think they were about 3 hours apart.
Wow.
But you train for those things, so it's kind of like, it sounds like it's a big deal, but, you know, when you're training like we did, it wasn't that hard.
Hmm. Okay. What surprised me when you and I talked earlier was the fact that your final match wasn't against the guy that won the gold medal. Even though you won the silver, it wasn't like we win, and then I lose and I take second.
No, it was a win-win, and I'm second. And the guy from Japan, who was defending gold medalist, he wins it without wrestling me.
Hmm. And who did you defeat in your last match was against who?
Was against a Russian.
Ah.
You know, I've often talked with the Japanese guy, Yutaki, because he attended Oklahoma State.
Ah.
And he comes back for national tournaments, and he looks at me and he goes, "Oh, Don Bem, so sorry. You not so lucky. I so lucky." And I go, "It's not that funny, Yo Joe."
Yeah.
But we laugh and giggle about it. So,
yeah. But, Don, can you imagine? Now, here we are, 45 years later, that the International Olympic Committee is considering dropping wrestling. It has to be one of the oldest sports ever in the Olympic Games.
It is. It is. It was in the first original ones back in 776 BC, and it's been in every one except for 2012, I believe. So, yeah, it's been in there. It's part of history.
What's your take on it, Don? What do you think are the reasons behind it?
Well, I think people just weren't paying attention with our sport. The wrestling community didn't really present itself well, and not that we didn't. We just didn't think it would ever happen. And we have to go out there and sell our sport if that's what we want to happen. There's been several committees, and it's all over the Internet. In fact, they're competing right now in the World Cup in Tehran. And can you imagine? Here's Iran. Politically, we're in a real problem area there.
Yeah.
Internationally.
And however, the U.S. and Iran are all going to be on the same team, or I should say on the same side.
We're tight. And even back in the 70s when I competed in Russia at the height of the Cold War stuff, we were, I wouldn't say we're close friends, but we were allies. We knew the other people, and we would hang out together.
Well, Don, but if the Russians and the Iranians and the Americans are all in favor of continuing the sport, who's against it? What countries?
Well, I don't know the all those people that are on the IOC, but they usually get their credentials through time. It's a good old boys group. But the people we have working for this, like Vladimir Putin from Russia, is working against this thing for wrestling, putting it back in.
Good.
And Dan Gable is leading the charge. There's a whole group of committee that's working on this thing as we speak. They're there politicking and getting their ducks in order. Stan Desik, who used to coach here at Michigan
State.
Sure,
I remember Stan.
He's a member of this. He's part of the FILA Bureau. Now, he's not a voting member.
FILA, F-I-L-A.
Yeah, that's what our international group is called that's in charge of wrestling. So all these groups from around the world are going to get together as we speak, and they're working on a plan to get this vote put back in. Now, their next meeting is in May in St. Petersburg, Russia. Well, I'm sure Putin will probably be there. Now, when
I hope
can get somebody like that leading the charge and putting it out there, I think something's going to happen. And then the final meeting, September vote, will be in Buenos Aires, Argentina.
Oh, the final vote's in September?
Yes.
Okay, I thought it was in May.
Well, I second the Internet today.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've determined. The final decision will be in Buenos
Aires. Don, do you get the feeling that if wrestling were to be dropped. By the way, we're talking with Don Beam, a very successful high school coach in East Lansing, now retired and a silver medal winner in the Olympics in 68. Don, do you get the feeling that if wrestling were to be dropped, that one sport would be added?
Well, they're trying to keep it just at 26 sports. And every Olympics, they're allowed to take a few off and add a few and things like that. So wrestling hasn't done too well by the news media, and it's not very friendly, TV friendly around the world.
But Don, let's face it. Maybe, and I don't mean to belittle the sport. Maybe it's not as sexy as women's gymnastics or boxing or something for television viewers who might not understand the intricacies of wrestling.
Exactly, and we haven't done ourselves justice by changing the rules and you know, different things that happen that the average person, I don't enjoy watching the Olympic Games right now the way the rules are.
Yeah, but what's so exciting about watching riflery or cross-country skiing?
Exactly.
Not exactly a drama involved.
Exactly. And so those are the things that these things. Now, one of the things that came out that, I don't know if you know Donald Rumsfeld, used to be Secretary of Defense.
Yes. And a former wrestler, apparently.
We went to the same high school. We had the
really?
Same coach. Yes. So Rumsfeld is talking about all the attributes that go into wrestling and things like this. We've got a group of people that are just behind this thing. And my guesstimate is that it's probably they're going to put it back in. Dan Gable was on the Fox and Friends a day or two ago about it. So.
Well, if you have to go to the media, you might as well go to the network that's going to be televising the Olympics.
Yeah.
Get them on your side. By the way, the Winter Olympics will be in Russia. Another focus on Russia. If they have a vote, obviously. But everyone just has one vote. And that was the thing that I found interesting when I talked with your old coach, Grady Penninger. He said sometimes you get the small countries that try to to group together and maybe vote against the powerhouse countries because everyone just gets one vote.
Well, and not every country gets to vote. It's a committee made up of the different countries. If you had 186 countries voting for this thing, boy, we'd never get anything done. So
the
committee is selected from that and smaller committees.
But why the magic number? You mentioned 26 sports in the Olympics. What's so magic about 26?
Probably just the economy of size. Mm. You know, you can't do everyone to set it up. This final vote's going to come down to, you know, money and politics.
Well,
you know,
and
like everything else.
Exactly. And I get the impression that money may be number one and politics number two, because, yes, it is about money. But I just can't imagine an Olympics without wrestling.
Well, it'd be a sad event for me because it has had a lot of great memories and a lot of great experiences I enjoyed.
Well, what would be the highlight, Don, of your wrestling career? Would it be the Olympics itself?
You know, yes, the Olympics would be right up there, but I think coaching has given me a lot of tremendous satisfaction.
Well, that's my question then, Don Beam. If, let's take the sport of basketball, and a young man that plays high school basketball, his aspirations are to go to college and play basketball. And if he's in college, his aspirations are to try to be a professional basketball player. The same might apply for a football player, but for a wrestler, it's high school, it's college, and it seems to me the next jump's the Olympics. That's the ultimate goal.
Yep.
There's nothing beyond college except the Olympics.
Well, and my goal, I had in the back of my mind to be a world champion, and I was only a sophomore in high school. But then I was influenced by a couple of gold medalists in the Olympics in 1960. So
who was that, Don?
That would be a guy by the name of Terry McCann, and then the assistant coach we had at Michigan State was Doug Bluebaugh, both gold medalists in 1960. So it's like, you know, they didn't tell me to go out and do it. It was just kind of like, I want to be like them. I want to be like Mike, you know?
As I recall, Don, and again, here we are reminiscing on my final show, Doug Bluebaugh was in charge of John Hanna's farm.
Yes, he was.
Was he not?
Yes, he was. He was the.
How about that combination? The guy from Oklahoma who wrestled with the cauliflower ears is working for the president of the university and taking care of his farm.
Well, he first came up to Michigan and he went to U of M. And then Grady was actually Blue Baugh's high school coach. So then Cliff Keene down at Michigan told Blue Baugh to go up to Michigan State. So we did. And then he worked on Hannah's farm, which is where Hannah Plaza is right now, on the west side of Hagedorn Road.
Did Doug employ some wrestlers summer help?
We were out there.
Did he work you out on Hannah's farm?
I did hay out there. I chased cows. That's hard work.
Wait a minute.
Man.
You chased cows?
Well, if they, you try and get them in the corral, and the darn thing would...
And you came from Chicago. That wasn't exactly in your DNA.
Blue Ball would be out there chasing the thing, swearing at him. Get that, and he gets that cow back in. He's like, I don't know what to do. I'm a city guy.
So you learned wrestling cows was easier than or harder than wrestling other wrestlers.
Oh, yeah. Some of them are about the same intelligence, but mostly they were...
You didn't do calf roping or get into the rodeo?
I only did it once or twice. Some of the other guys did.
Well, you were 125 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
The heavyweights would have been better for Blue Baugh.
We had to throw those bales up on the hay rack, and Doug just grabs one in each hand and throws them up there.
Uh-huh.
And I go, Doug, I'm not that tall. I could barely see to the top of the hay rack. Can I drive it? I said.
By the way, let's go back. You said that you and Rumsfeld went to the same high school. Not necessarily
Correct.
At the same time. I don't know. Well, what school was that?
That was New Trier High School.
New Trier.
Out of
Winnetka.
Winnetka, Illinois.
Yeah.
He's about 9 years older than I am.
Well, there was now there's New Trier East and West. At that time, I'm guessing there was only one.
That's correct.
But wasn't that the high school of Ann Margaret and Rock Hudson? And
correct. All of those people. Yeah.
That's what I thought.
It's a pretty nice high school to be from. I enjoyed it there.
Well, Don, I appreciate you calling in and talking with us about the sport that you are still so passionate about. And if they ever have a hearing and they want to assemble a bunch of former wrestlers to speak on behalf of what is good about the sport, I hope you're at the forefront of that.
I will be right behind Gable. I'm going to let him lead the charge, but I'll be right there with him.
All right, Don. Thank you so much, and appreciate you calling in, and it's been fun. It was so much fun when I was working at WKAR, following you and so many of those great wrestlers that Grady brought here to Michigan State.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Do you stay in touch with some of those guys, Don?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do. We text back and forth and send emails. We're not technology limited.
I understand that. I'll see you when you pick up your next Christmas tree, okay?
Hey, I'll be there. Take care.
All right, buddy. Don Bye. Beam, our 68 silver medal winner in the Olympics, talking about the possibility of excluding the sport of wrestling by the year 2020. Well, it's about time for us to wrap it up here, and I want to thank Alex so much, my student engineer on Impact Radio, right? Alex, where can we hear you live? He's got Impact. All right, but is there a number on the dial, or is that in-house? What? He's gone. He's busy. I want to thank also Aaron, our engineer. The other couple of days we sat in here from 1 to 2. Terry Braverman saying, I hope you've enjoyed a little of what we've tried to do. Gary Reed, manager here at KAR Radio, thank you so much for letting me have the opportunity to do this. I do appreciate it. It's been fun. And folks, I hope you have a nice weekend. And let's support the Spartans, beat the Buckeyes, and we'll see you here when they play Wisconsin, 9 o'clock on the 7th of March. Go Green! Good afternoon, everybody.
From NPR in New York.
This is Sports Talk from AM 870 WKAR.